Hey, ¿qué onda? ¿Cómo están? This is Luis Octavio from Tamarindo Podcast. Para los que lo han escuchado, you may be familiar with my sign-off de Nos vemos en el Swap Meet. Muchos de ustedes me han preguntado if I actually go to the Swap Meet. ¿Y qué creen? Pues claro, I have been going to the Swap Meet since I was a little kid. And on this podcast of Nos vemos en el Swap Meet, I'm taking you with me to several Swap Meets across Southern California. Come with me as we explore the swap meets, find some amazing treasures.
Right here called Arroy D. I don't know what the fuck that means, but it's the first place that I ever had Asian food, like Chinese food.
Carnitas de Michoacán to... I saw this thing called salchipulpo.
Salchipulpo.
What is that?
Meet some amazing people.
I think it's just made me think of my identity for a very long time. Uh-huh. Like, because even as a child, having to code switch from being Guatemalan, having a Guatemalan accent, and then...
That's another thing we started talking about. When do we start realizing that we are being discussed or looked at as brown people? Mm-hmm. And I think when that shifts in high school, that's when we either take control of that and we're like, right on, or we reject it.
And here there are incredible stories.
I was born and raised here in Las Vegas, so I've been coming to this swap meet for years.
Nos vemos en el swap meet. Síguenos en Instagram @ Nos vemos en el swap meet. Y si tienes una historia que quieras compartir conmigo, mándame un correo a Nos vemos en el swap meet @gmail.com. Nos vemos en el swap meet. Finally made it here con los chavos de Latinos Who Lunch. ¿Qué onda? ¿Cómo están, chavos?
Bien, bien. Hello, hello, hello.
Que show, que show, que show.
Oye, muchísimas gracias por being on the Nos vemos en el Swap Meet podcast. Y literalmente estamos en el Swap Meet.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about dónde me trajeron.
I think Fabi can tell you more a little bit of this place because this is my first time here.
Well, this is Brodeker Swap Meet. It opened in the late 1970s. And it grew from this little swap meet con pocos puestos, and now it's like an entire city block in North Las Vegas.
Wow.
So restaurants, puestos de mercancía, bandas, aquí hasta hacen baile los viernes.
Damn.
En la tarde.
Oye, ¿y cuánto te pagaron por echarte ese super mega anuncio comercial, oye?
$3.
No, but let me, this is the first time you come to the swap meet, Babelito.
Yeah, like I've been to other swap meets,
uh-huh,
but not.
Pero no este.
I think we tried to come here once, and there was a lot of people, and we're like, fuck it. Pero no me acuerdo, güey.
No.
No me acuerdo.
Es que sí está súper grande. Estoy súper impresionado de qué tan grande está este swap meet.
Yeah, it's huge, and
it's huge.
It's huge, and I mean, it's the same shit at every swap meet, really. You know, it's like you kind of see the same things over and over again, but. It's nice. There's different feel to this swap meet. Like you saw, part of it is really old, so it's casi como que es un garage sale.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a lot of tools and ropa y just stuff for your house.
But see, that's what I remember that a swap meet was when I was a kid in El Paso.
Uh-huh.
Like we will go to the swap meet in El Paso if my dad needed like construction tools. So when we went to that part of the swap meet, I was like, this is what I remember. But everything else is like.
Es que ya venden de todo, ¿no? O sea, hay como desde cell phone, accessories, cobijas, o sea, de todo. Hay cosas nuevas y cosas usadas.
Parece la Feria de Juárez, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
Damn, that's a big ass feria, man.
It is pretty.
Is it?
It's almost like the white people call a flea market.
Sí, 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 sí. Oye, pues hablando de Juárez y todo esto, como pues ya saben más o menos, en el Sony queremos saber un poquito de ustedes, queremos saber qué onda, ¿no? Aparte, sabemos de que tienen su podcast, pero cuéntanos de ustedes. Tú hablas de que eres de Juárez.
Uh-huh.
¿A los cuántos años te viniste para acá?
Nosotros teníamos, bueno, yo tenía como 13 o 14 cuando nos fuimos al Paso primero.
Ajá.
Y luego mi papá trabaja en la construcción. So he came to Vegas, mm-hmm, to check it out. So he was here for like 6 months, and then he brought us here for a little bit to see if we liked it. Like we got a choice. Like,
oh, nice.
Yeah, my dad is awesome. So he brought us here, and we hated El Paso. Like the when we first crossed the border, we fucking hated it because for us it was really boring.
Uh-huh.
Because Juarez is like the fourth largest city in Mexico. And then going from that to one of the small, not smallest, but like it's one of the safest, cleanest, sí. Whitest fucking cities in the U.S. It's changed a lot, but back then it was like that. So for 2 years, we just hated El Paso. So when we came here, we're like, that's it. Like, estamos en casa. Like, we loved it. And, but yeah, it was, I think for us, the transition was much harder to El Paso than to Vegas. Coming to Vegas just felt natural, so we felt home right away here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I was born and raised here in Las Vegas, so I've been coming to this swap meet for years. And actually, I really see this place as kind of a cultural hub for Latinos, because, you know, this is a place that we were always welcome.
Uh-huh.
And it's a place, I feel like, I mean, just looking around, like, there's this place right here called Arroidi. I don't know what the fuck that means, but it's the first place that I ever had Asian food, like Chinese food.
Arroidi. You
know what I mean? Yeah, right here.
It's been here for a long time?
It's been here since the 80s, that place right there. So
it looks like it, porque el anuncio está todo faded, ¿no? O sea, a lo mejor hasta desde antes.
Yeah, it's still here, and I don't know. It's always been here, and it's something that's constant in the community, which I think is really cool. And you know, there's not a lot of places that really embrace the Latinos like North Las Vegas and this swap meet, you know.
But you know, one of the things that I'm so intrigued about Los Swap Meets and why I started this podcast is because you just mentioned it, de que acoge a la comunidad latina. There's something about Los Swap Meets that just feels safe.
Yeah.
It feels like home.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think?
Like the second we step into the food area, I was like, I feel like I'm in a mercado.
Sí, es cierto.
In Mexico. Like,
yeah, totally.
What were you saying?
Remember in Puebla, there's that place that has all the food from all over the place?
Yeah.
¿Cómo se llama ese
lugar? Ay, el Mercado de los Sabores.
Yeah, that's what it's like.
That's what
it is.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy to see the kinds of food that they have. But everything from like carnitas de Michoacán to... I saw this thing called salchipulpo.
Salchipulpo.
What is that?
I have no idea.
Octopus with...
It sounds very sexual.
No. Salchipulpo is like salchipapas, right?
Pero con
so pulpo. It's like a stir fry. It's Peruvian.
Dios mío.
Bueno, es que aquí tienen de todo, porque también vi que tenían tejuino.
What's tejuino?
I don't know what tejuino is, but... pero ¿sabes? I know, right? It sounded como que sí sabía,
is,
¿no?
Pero,
I don't know what it is, but I've seen it before.
Dos, por favor.
No, ¿sabes dónde lo he visto? And I think the tejuino, if I'm not mistaken, started in Tijuana. And I see it every time que cruzas la frontera, ahí te lo venden, el tejuino. And anywhere you go in Tijuana,
yeah.
A donde quiera que vayas, hay tejuino.
Yeah.
Pero también tenían, y tomé fotos de estos, I will post on our Instagram, un puesto de aguas frescas. Un puesto de aguas frescas con un montón, sí, un chingo de aguas frescas. Una de las aguas frescas que probé fue la de fresas con crema.
Oh, yeah.
You tried that.
Yeah, it was really good.
Está buenísima, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
It was good. It looked like Pepto Bismol, but it was pretty good.
It did look like Pepto Bismol.
Yeah.
Me
la acabas de arruinar. Me la acabas de arruinar.
It tasted good, though.
It was pretty good.
Sabía muy rico. Oye, entonces, ¿tú naciste en Juárez, Babelito?
No, yo nací en Los Ángeles.
¿Tú naciste en Los Ángeles, pero te creaste en Juárez?
Sí. Cuando tenía 5 meses, my dad is like, enough of the States. I don't like this
really?
Place. So we moved back to Juárez. And that's where I grew up. And then when I was like 13, we went to El Paso. And then when I was like 15, when I was like 15 or 16, that's when we moved over here to Vegas.
O sea, eres un nomad, ¿no?
Por todos lados, güey.
Por todos lados.
Yeah.
¿Y tú, Fabi? ¿Tú naciste aquí en Las Vegas?
Sí, nací aquí, yeah. So that's it. I'm going to have a boring story.
Chan, 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 se acabó.
Chan, chan, chan.
But you know what? One of the things that I wanted to talk about was in el podcast de ustedes. Sí. Ustedes hablan de how when you were growing up, everybody would be like, it is Mexican, or this Mexican, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
How did that influence your work now? Because you're an artist. How has that influenced what you do?
I think it's just made me think of my identity for a very long time. Like, because even as a child, having to code switch from being Guatemalan, having a Guatemalan accent, and then being in a Mexican house and having to tone that down because, you know, they would make fun of you for
having to tone the Guatemalan accent. Really? In your house? Okay.
Yeah. So, and then when I started making art, thinking about people's perceptions of what a Latino artist is or what a brown artist is, and I automatically, it's funny, anytime an article comes out about my artwork, I'm labeled as Mexican-American or even Chicano, and I've never said that I am that. They just label me that. So a lot of my work when I first started making stuff was about people's perception of my identity, and then it became, now I've kind of flipped it around, and now I'm fucking with people because of that notion.
All these articles that are written about you have labeled you as a certain, you know, it Chicano.
It just depends. Sometimes I'm a Chicano, sometimes I'm a Latino. Sometimes I'm of Mexican / Guatemalan heritage. Like, it just depends on who's writing it.
What does Favi label himself as?
I think right now I'm going as Latino.
Okay.
But I'm going back to my Guatemalan roots a little bit more, and just paying attention to that, because I feel like, for example, Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast, is very Mexico-centric, like our identities as Mexicans, and Latin America is much bigger than that. So I want to embrace my Guatemalan side more, just so that, I don't know, just so that we're more inclusive in our podcast, because there's a lot of these woke, brown, chingonex people everywhere.
Latinx.
There's always this complaint about everything being Mexico-centric, right? And I kind of agree with that. I was like, you know what? That's right, because there's such a rich culture everywhere else. And if us as Latinos do the same thing and everything brown is Mexican to us too, that's also kind of fucked up. So, you know, we have Salvadorian friends. We have friends from South America. I know you know a couple people from South America.
And if there's an area that...
Uno en especial que no quiero nombrar, que está aquí sentado a la izquierda de Babelito.
If there is an area of the world that is underrepresented, I think it's Central America.
Central America.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean...
And the thing is, even within Central America, the identities and the cultures are so different from country to country, not even country to country, from region to region. So I think it's one of the things that people have been attracted to in the podcast, the fact that they see Favi as being Guatemalteco, and they're like, oh shit, like, we're actually represented.
There's
here.
There's someone here.
Yeah, and that is very, very important for people to see and to listen.
Yeah, when I find a Guatemalan, I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's amazing, because you don't see a lot of, I mean, you don't run into a lot of them.
A lot of Guatemalans, yeah. And you know what? I think that you're very lucky that you're able to have that.
Yeah.
Where you can, you know, you understand the Mexican culture and now the Guatemalan culture, which you're, you know, expressing now more.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's awesome. What about you, Babelito? What do you like to label yourself, or what do you want people to label you as?
You know what? It's interesting, because...
Why is Favi cracking up? Like, híjole, ahí va.
I don't know, because I'm very interested to see what he says.
We talked about this in the podcast before.
Yes,
all the time.
I know.
But I think in terms of region more than borders. Mm-hmm. So I always think in terms like the border, especially the border. So I think one of the things that I'm noticing... My connection with people that listen to the podcast, it's always been people that listen that are from the border. And there's a lot of things that I said about the food that I eat and the things that I did when I grew up that I identify with them. So I didn't really thought about myself as being a border person. I used to say border kid, pero ya estoy bien viejo. Like a border person. And also a Southwest. There's an inherent culture in the Southwest that is border culture, that is Native American, that is everything.
Right.
And I think that's home for me. So when I'm away from the Southwest, that's when I feel I'm away from home more than anything. I can be in Mexico and feel like I'm away from home, even though I'm in Mexico. But then I'm in Juarez, and it's like, it's my place, you know? So, and I'm in Vegas, and it's my home too. So I think about it in terms of region more than a specific country.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because even when you're talking about borders, I even think of my friends that grew up on the border of a state line, and those people also identify, I mean, it's very different, but those people also identify with both cultures from both states, because,
correct,
you know, like, we're really close to Arizona here, mm-hmm. and I have some cousins that are like, we're from Arizona. I'm like, yeah, but you know.
In California, it's like another one of
the. Yeah, I'm like, it's the same shit, dude. We're all drinking this, we're all drinking the same water from the Rio Grande.
And we actually had a whole podcast just about the identity between New Mexico and Colorado, for example. And that's something that we don't think about, but the whack-ass food, Mexican food that you find in Colorado actually makes you understand.
Lola, tápate los oídos.
Wow, not in Lola's cocina.
No, claro que no.
Lola's representing, man. Yeah. But really, there's some crazy...
Quince?
Stupid.
Quince jam?
Quince jam. There's some food that really reflects almost like misinterpretations of Mexican identity, but it's also new interpretations of Mexican identity. So it's hard to judge, even though that's all we do.
and it's funny because, like, when I went to New Mexico, and they're like, you gotta try the green chili, it's thebomb.com. Que no sé qué. And then I went over there, and I was like, y'all put salt in your food? Like, this shit is not...
Yeah.
I've never... I need to go with a local. When I go visit Babelito, maybe finally I will eat food in New Mexico that I think is good, but... I think it's because we're just used to the food in this region.
Uh-huh.
Porque if I go to like Texas or like Arkansas or something, the food is so far removed from what we're used to that to me it's novel. Like when you go to Texas and you go to Arkansas, they always have this white cheese dip that's all runny. And
it's
all the
called
Mexican-
queso.
Queso. Oh my God, it is the best.
Just because wait, I thought Babelito was like,
I love it. I don't know.
De disgusting.
Well, I don't know.
Sí me lo como, güey, pero...
Sí, ay. No, no.
Es que el hambre es cabrona.
He's really
but
hungry.
It's pretty gross, man. Like, it's fucking gross, but it's good.
But what is
it's
it?
Amazing. O sea,
it's wait.
It's like cheese. It's
amazing,
like,
gross.
Okay,
what
like,
is it?
Think like Tex-Mex.
Mm-hmm.
Cuando te ponen queso blanco, but it's like kind of watery and runny. So it's like almost like a Velveeta con cream.
Velveeta? Yo no sé qué es eso.
You don't know what Velveeta
no,
is?
No, no sé qué. Yo nomás sé que eso cotija.
Aquí estamos en el swap, mira,
fresco,
aquí hay una, un puesto
y Oaxaca.
Unos nachos, güey. ¿Sí? Ay, mira lo que es auténtico.
Sí.
Cuando vas a... When you go to like a party and they're like, okay, carne asada para
you know
los adultos y los nachos para los niños.
You know like when you go to...
Sí, es eso.
Okay, you know at your office when you have a potluck and somebody brings...
at my office.
Yeah, I know. You're gonna relate to this. Watch.
Oh, man.
Somebody puts a bunch of cheese in a pot and chili.
Sí.
And then you build your own nachos. That's Velveeta in there.
Ah, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yo siempre lo conocí como queso de nachos.
But white. That's queso.
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 And sometimes they put chile, like pepper in there, like peppers. No, ¿por qué ponen la cara así? You have to try it.
You gotta try it.
Es que eso es, no sé, suena.
It's delicious.
Side note, una vez cuando mi pareja y yo estábamos de novios, su mamá me invitó a comer, hicieron un Colombian dish. ¿Cómo se llamaba? No me acuerdo.
Changua.
And it was like this white sopa cremosa, and I was like, oh, maybe this is like a crema de algo, ¿no? Como chowder.
¿Y qué era?
And then I tried it. Oh my God, dude. I'm sorry, Colombia, but it was the worst.
No, like, pero ¿qué era lo,
what is it?
I don't even know what it is. I didn't even care to ask.
I want to know.
¿Qué, a ver, ¿qué es?
It's es como un... Es un caldo. Obviamente es un caldo, pero está hecho de leche. Está con leche, agua. Es...
O sea, chorro seguro.
Leche, agua y tostadas. Entonces las tostadas como el pan, pero lo metemos
lo muelen en el...
Lo metemos en la changua, en la sopa. A mí me gusta, es rico. Yo no sé, a Luis no le gustó.
¿Y le ponen sal?
Sí, sal,
especias,
cilantro.
I can see that.
That sounds good.
No. Es
with
que
milk.
No, primero que nada, bueno... Ese es otro, nos vemos en Colombia. Ese es nos vemos en Colombia.
Vamos, for real. It's beautiful.
Otra cosa que tenía curiosidad es, growing up here, or going to school here, do you recall a time where somebody in your class was mentioning something that you just didn't know what it was? And you were like, ¿qué es? I guess where I'm going is, when I was little, mis papás llegaron acá a este país como inmigrantes, como muchos llegamos. Yo fui a una primaria en donde todos eran gringos, ¿no? Y mis amigos siempre me decían, hey, I'm going to go to the mall, go to the mall, go to the mall. Pero mis papás no sabían que era el mall, porque para mí el mall era, pues, el swap meet.
Yeah. Oh, I know the story. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Entonces, do you guys have something similar where, like, you know, it's a different culture, it's different. Maybe not, maybe you not so much.
I do have one swap meet story like that, is that we all went to the swap meet one time. And we bought clothes, and my stepdad was super excited because he found this really awesome Adidas jacket, and we're like, oh yeah, it's cool, and whatever, and he bought it, and he would always wear it, and then he dropped us off at school one day, and he got out of the car to say bye to my little brothers, and somebody pointed, he's like, oh my god, look at that guy's jacket, it says Adidas, and we didn't even know. And we were so embarrassed. We're like, what? Like, we didn't even... Because it was, like, such a good knockoff, but it said Adidas on it. I will never forget that. That was hilarious.
I mean, you know, that's... That, but that's part of the swap meet culture,
and now I would
right?
fucking wear that jacket every day.
I would, too. Like,
yeah, I think it's funny.
I would, too. That would be,
I wouldn't be embarrassed.
Adidas?
No.
That's funny.
What about you, Abuelito?
I don't know, man.
No?
I don't know.
You know what's fucked up, though? Like, my mom... Now that I think back to it, like, we didn't have a lot of money growing up, but there's this, like, pride that my mom had that she would never... She would buy stuff at the swap meet, like undershirts and calcetines and stuff, but she would never buy our outfits at the swap meet or at the thrift store. And we would always go to the department store, and she'd try to find the sales or whatever. And now that I think back, I'm like, damn, she could have saved a lot of money going to Segundas or coming here. But there's this like weird thing that a lot of, well, both sides, my Guatemalan and Mexican side have, like, once I got to high school and I was like, whoa, you could buy a t-shirt for 50 cents at a thrift store? What the fuck have we been doing this whole time? Yeah, totally. And then, but my tia's like, ah, yeah, pero somebody wore it. I was like, yeah, who cares? It's 50 cents. Yeah, but...
I mean, we just saw anuncio de tres pantalones por $20, right?
Yeah, and I mean, pretty much everything that I wear now is from the thrift store. It's like, who cares?
So tell me a little bit about that, because I feel like how... I mean, now us as adults, we hear el swap meet y decimos, oh, qué cool, ¿no? Yeah. Ya es como que cool. At what point did it become cool... You know, because obviously when you were elementary, junior high school, it almost was like, you would almost be afraid, I think, que te vieran tus amigos or que somebody see you at the swap meet. Pero ya después, it was just like, dude, ¿por qué no? Yeah.
No, I think that's another thing we started talking about. When do we start realizing that we are being discussed or looked at as brown people, and I think when that shifts in high school, that's when we either take control of that and we're like right on, or we reject it. And that happens either in junior high or in elementary school, but in high school, that's when we realize where we start thinking about making sense of that. And I think the swap meet, it's very important in those terms that you're like, okay, this is how I identify myself. This is a space that I feel safe at. And I'm going to be part of it just because, you know, for identity purposes. And there's people that they start identifying a little bit more white. And then they start getting away from it. So sí, I think it's a thing that your relationship, the relationship that you develop in, I think I'm gonna say high school, because that's when I started to make sense of all these ideas and sense of identity.
Yeah, I remember when I was in middle school, for example, you would never catch me at the mall because I always felt nervous that I was gonna run into somebody, usually a white friend, and I'd be with my, you know, con toda la parranda, you know, con toda la chusma, let me think of a Guatemalan word.
A ver.
Con toda la cachimba or something, like, just like with all my family, you know, and like, because it's even starting in middle school, señor, por favor, we're doing a podcast. Hijo de sus.
Oye, pero ¿sabes qué? Es que así es en el swap meet. Todos los ruidos, todos los sonidos.
I know.
Toda la belleza.
No, so like...
Es como una orquesta de sonidos.
No, but I remember thinking in middle school, like, oh, I hope nobody sees me here.
At the mall.
Because
really? Oh, because of your family.
I don't know. We didn't really go there to, like, hang out with, like, we went there on a mission, like, to buy clothes for a quinceañera or do, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. I felt more safe at the swap meet. But then once I got into high school and I was in different circles and there was a lot of white Mormons at my school, uh-huh. like, then we would go to the mall to hang out, you know? It was a different thing. And I don't think I ever remember going to the swap meet with my friends when I was in, just, it was kind of a, just a family thing. So I, and I never was afraid to run any to any of those people at the swap meet. They would never come here. It's, I mean, now it's cool, I guess. But.
For me, it's interesting because we did, we used to go, but we talked, I talked about this with a friend. I always say that. I talked about this before. But the way that, for example, race relations and social relations work in Juarez, it's different than other parts in Mexico because it's such new money. So going to the swap meet versus, or going to the mercado versus going to El Mall, it wasn't something different, or at least for me. I remember having, in junior high, we had friends whose parents have like these big ass businesses, and people that did not, that their parents were more proletariat, you know? So, and we all hang out and we all were the same. At least in junior high, we didn't think in those terms, even though popular culture tells us otherwise, you know? There's like
right.
big like,
divisions and, claro.
So when it came to either we hang out here or we hang out there, it wasn't so much of a problem at least. But then you get more towards central Mexico, and I see that happening. But at the same time, we never hang out with, like, millonarios. And they also create certain borders that
claro.
I wasn't, I'm not familiar with, you know? So it depends.
So overall now, que alguien que no conoce el SWAT meet, what would be your description of el SWAT meet to someone who doesn't know about it?
Based on this, like, una feria en México, man.
Una
Pero
feria.
Faltan los jueguitos nada más.
No, sí tenían.
¿Sí tenían jueguitos?
Allá tienen jueguitos. Tienen como un carrusel y no sé qué tanto.
Una they feria.
Have a, they have ponies here.
Y una, también tienen ponies. Sí, sí.
Did you see the ponies?
Huh?
Did you see the ponies?
No.
They have ponies here.
No, gracias.
Ah, okay. I don't know. I would describe it as a an epicenter of... no, I'm just kidding.
Stupid.
No, just like, I would just, you know, if I was, depending on who I was describing it to, like, it's a nice place to walk around and, you know, have a coconut and,
Yeah, what is it? When did coconuts become?
They've been here, girl. What are you talking about? Become what?
Like this, like, when you think of the swap meet, you think of coconuts now.
This See? Coconut stand has been here since the 80s.
But any swap meet anywhere is like, oh, like, there's always that coconut person.
Yeah, because
is that what you think about now? When you think about swami, you think cocos?
In El Paso, perfect... in LA, like the swami said.
Well, yeah, because who's gonna buy? Who has a machete at their house and they're gonna just like cut a coconut? It's not convenient. So obviously, a coconut stand makes sense in a public space.
Okay.
I mean, just logistically. No te vas a poner ahí de machetazos en la cocina, güey. I mean, unless you do. Unless that's your favorite fruit. I don't know.
What about you? What do you think about when you think when you hear el swap meet?
El swap meet? I think food. That's food? My number one thing. I love to snack on... Yeah, ahorita me acabo de comer coco sandia. Con sandía with chamoy and, and chile. And after we do this, I'm probably going to get some chicharrones because I always get peanuts.
Yes,
or something salty, chicharrones. Sí. And they have really good food here, but I usually just get the junk en los puestos, the junk food, the candy, you know. That's what I love about the swap meet. I just love walking around. You know, you got to get your steps in.
Exactly. And I think we did a pretty good job about that, no?
Yeah.
We I think we went from...
Yeah, we've been here for like 3 hours.
Sí, ya, 3 horas.
Okay, yeah, nap time.
Bueno, pues muchísimas gracias. Thank you guys for being on Nos Vemos en el Swadmi. Y para la otra, a ver si nos vemos en Puebla, ¿no?
Oh,
or Tijuana.
Or Tijuana.
With Pambazo.
With Pambazo, yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Actually, we're going to go and do a recording from a Swadmi in San Diego soon. So.
¿Cuándo, cuándo?
Amazing.
Pronto, muy pronto.
I'm like, yo quiero ir.
Yeah, let us know.
Perfecto. Pues muchísimas gracias, you guys. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And where can people find you guys?
Well, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher. Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere online. Just Google it, loca. I'm Favi Fav, and you are Babelito on Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram, I'm Babelito, and on Twitter, I'm Babelito666.
I'm Favi Fav everywhere, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, because I got my life together.
Calmate.
Damn. Snap. All right. Well, muchas gracias, chavos.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Híjole, pues espero que les haya gustado esta entrevista con nuestros amigos de Latinos Who Lunch. La verdad que estos chavos son a toda máquina, son súper chistosos, son buena onda. Y pues bueno, síganlos a ellos y escuchen su podcast que se llama Latinos Who Lunch, porque pues está buenísimo, ¿no? Aparte, les queremos dar las gracias por habernos invitado este fin de semana pasado a convivir con ellos en el RuPaul's Drag Con de Los Ángeles. Ellos estuvieron ahí, fueron moderadores de un panel que se llamó The Art of Resistance. Y en ese panel estuvo con ellos como invitados A.B. Soto, que es un cantante del este de Los Ángeles. Si no lo conocen, no saben quién es, les digo que pues métanse a YouTube y busquen por medio de Chacha Bitch, porque es buenísimo, es súper, súper buenísimo y talentoso el chavo. También estuvo Phoebe Robinson, que es parte del podcast que se llama Two Dope Queens. Raymond Brown, que es un media personality. Y Sasha Velour. Ella es concursante de esta temporada de RuPaul's Drag Race, o sea, la temporada número 9. No, estuvo de poca y de lujo el panel. Y los chavos hicieron un excelente trabajo, la verdad, moderando este panel. Estuvo buenísimo. Y bueno, les cuento que la próxima semana tenemos una entrevista con Yanira, que básicamente cuando entrevistamos a Susi, ella se sentó a un lado de nosotros durante toda la entrevista y se mantuvo ahí. Y al final de la entrevista, pues me preguntó como, ¿qué están haciendo? ¿Qué es esto? ¿Es para una estación de radio? Bla, bla, bla. Y pues bueno, le expliqué un poquito de lo que se trataba. Nos vemos en el SWATME, qué es lo que es y cuál es la, pues, lo que queremos lograr, ¿no? Por medio de este podcast. Y le pregunté, ¿la puedo entrevistar? Porque si tiene tiempo la entrevista ahorita de una vez. Y me dijo, pues bueno, yo tengo que llegar porque tengo que hacer unos mandados, tal y tal. Pero le pasó mi número de teléfono, igual puede venir a mi casa a entrevistarme. Y pues bueno, intercambiamos información y después de varias llamadas y mensajes de texto, pues finalmente agendamos una fecha en el calendario para yo ir a su casa de ella. Y pues bueno, con esa entrevista creo que vemos que la razón por la cual se viene la gente a Estados Unidos, pues no siempre es la misma, no siempre es igual, no siempre es por necesidad. Entonces, pero aún súper importante. La próxima semana estén listos para la entrevista de Yanira. Y por lo mientras, si les gusta lo que están escuchando, por favor, les vuelvo a repetir, les agradeceríamos muchísimo, no nada más yo, sino las personas que estamos entrevistando, que nos den un rating de 5 estrellas por medio de iTunes y que nos escriban un comentario, porque esto hace que nuestro podcast sea más visible y que más personas lo puedan escuchar. Y de igual manera, si te gustó lo que estás escuchando, recomiéndaselo a tu vecina, a tu amiga, a tu amigo, a quien sea que le interesen estas historias, porque son muy importantes. Y pues bueno, si tú tienes una historia que quieras compartir conmigo, mándame un mensaje a nosvemosenelswatmeet@gmail.com o por medio de Instagram me puedes mandar un mensaje directo. Nuestro Instagram es @nosvemosenelswatmeet. Y pues bueno, muchísimas gracias y nos vemos en el SWATMEET.